Humanitarian Engineering Podcast.
Welcome to the 12th episode of the Humanitarian Engineering Podcast. Today we have two guests, Teodora Kitia and Mariam Diara, who are students of the University of Twente. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
So before we even start and talk about why you are here, can you perhaps tell us about who you are? Mariam, would you like to start?
Yes, of course. So my name is Mariam. I was born and raised in Mali up until my high school years in 2017, at which point I decided to go abroad for my studies. And in 2022, I moved to the Netherlands to do my master's in sustainable energy technology. Before that, I had a bachelor in chemistry. And this year, I'm planning to finish my studies, my master's. I did my internship in Madagascar last semester, and now I'm doing my thesis.
Perfect. Thank you. And what about you, Teodora?
So as you said, my name is Teodora Kutia. I was born and raised in Romania, and I lived there till 2019, where I moved here to study initially civil engineering. Then I switched to industrial design engineering, where I'm now currently working on my bachelor's thesis, part of which I had an internship in Nepal.
Great. I think both of you nicely made a link to the next part of this podcast, when we will be talking about your assignments and internships abroad that you did within the humanitarian engineering field.
Okay, let's move with the second part of the podcast. So the specific topic related question about your assignment in internship abroad. Well, Mariam, maybe we can start with you. Can you introduce the project you work on during your internship in Madagascar?
Yes, of course. So I did my internship with a startup that was located in Antananarivo, the capital. And they sought help because they had a system where they were trying to improve cooking solutions for remote communities in Madagascar. They wanted to really focus on clean cooking. And the system they had is fully sustainable, so they have energy source from the solar energy. But the problem is one of the component of the system was a heat battery, which was a lithium battery, which is quite expensive to be implemented in those low-income communities. So they were seeking help into trying to see if there was a possibility to design a heat battery for them. And the goal of my summer was basically to look into the technical feasibility of this by using local materials.
Okay, perfect. Thank you very much. And before going to the next question, I would like to ask Teodora maybe to introduce your project in Nepal.
Yes, thank you. So I went to Nepal to work closely with the humanitarian organizations from there that are involved in building flood-resilient housing, because Nepal faces multiple floods a year. And their goal is to compile the designs that these multiple organizations are using into a catalog for the homeowners to be able to use those insights and that knowledge to just build their houses more sustainable and more resilient for floods on their own, basically.
Okay, thanks. I think both of the assignments are really relevant for society. And now also brings me to ask you, why did you decide to work on this project?
Yes, I can start. For me, I was really interested in the topic of humanitarian engineering in general. I took an elective last year called Introduction to Humanitarian Engineering, and I really liked it. And I asked, I reached out to a teacher if it was a possibility to do an assignment on this topic. And my supervisor from the company happened to be a guest lecturer during one of our classes. So it was a really quick link for me.
That's very convenient.
Yes.
And for you, Teodora?
So for my bachelor's thesis, I knew that I have to work on a project, and I wanted my work to be focused on something that I believe in. And I wanted to feel like I'm working for something that is meaningful after all. So I felt like humanitarian engineering is, the perfect way to achieve that in a controlled way.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, where did you find the assignment? Because for Mariam, it was quite straightforward. She already had some connection with the supervisor. But where did you find the assignment?
I'm not really sure how I learned that the University of Twente is working on a humanitarian engineering branch. But I just approached the supervisor, so you. I just emailed you and I asked what are the possibilities of doing a bachelor's thesis in industrial design engineering with a collaboration, in collaboration with humanitarian engineering. And it seemed like there was quite some overlap. You gave me some pointers for some projects that I could work on, and this particular one felt like the one closest to my interests.
Yeah, that's also very good to hear that. And if I look, both of you, Mariam, you're doing the master, and Theodora, you are finalizing your bachelor program. But I suspect that probably there are some key challenges that both of you faced in doing this project abroad. Can you maybe reflect on that, Mariam?
Yes. So, because I was in between the Netherlands and Madagascar, so I would say two different challenges at different parts of my internship. First, while I was located in the Netherlands, it was really the communication part, being able to understand what my supervisors were both expecting from me, the communication, time zones differences, so just navigating around all of that. And then when I went to Madagascar, actually, for 1 month at the end, near the end, it was really just getting used to the ways things were there, you know, like different settings, different cultures, but just losing this independence that I had here, not knowing the way around transportation. So those were my main challenges, I would say.
Yeah, and for you, Theodora?
Yeah, I agree with most of the things Mariam mentioned. Definitely the time zone difference was quite a big challenge.
Yeah, I remember that as well.
Yeah, Nepal and the Netherlands had at that time 4 hours and 45, uh-huh. which was quite difficult. That gave a very slim overlap in between the working hours. So meetings with both time zones were a bit difficult. But also I worked in an environment completely student free and a bit further away from the academic field that I was used to in the Netherlands. So I had to readjust to some elements, but I looked at everything with curiosity, so it made the whole experience much better.
Okay, and I'm curious to ask you, did you need to adapt to working with colleagues from different culture and backgrounds? It's something that you immediately had to face, or were the things was more smooth?
Not really for me, because I have always been surrounded by different cultures, and the university, like U20, is also quite international itself, where you are immediately thrown into different group projects with different horizons. So that was quite a good part, I would say. I really loved that, the interaction between others.
For me, I had a bit of a different experience. It is true that the university has quite an international pool of students. But in the same time, in my experience in Nepal, was quite different because I worked only with locals. And just their daily life looked so much more different than what I knew. And suddenly the most trivial things were done in different ways. So then there was a bit of a cultural difference. And I think that also increased my cultural awareness in some way.
Yeah, because I think the next question that we had in mind was to ask you, what skills or knowledge did you gain from your project? And maybe you can
By overcoming the challenges, I guess communication really, that one was really improved during the assignment, but I knew it beforehand that it was going to be critical, so I really tried to focus on that throughout. I would say also just general knowledge about heat batteries now.
My experience was quite similar. My background is mainly industrial design engineering, and I touched upon very, very little civil engineering, but my assignment is mainly focusing on construction management, and I had to gain quite some knowledge in that field. And besides that, also, again, communication, and moreover, communication across different cultures, because I felt like there were differences in just the way we were relating to setting specific expectations from each other, or just, I don't know, even more trivial things like meetings or just casual conversations.
Yeah, You both talk about communication. What about language barrier? How did you deal with it?
So Madagascar is a French-speaking country, and Mali is also, so I speak French. And my supervisors both spoke English. So when I would have meetings with them, it would be in English. And then when I would have to speak with my colleagues in Madagascar, we would speak in French. It was a bit difficult because I had one coworker that did not speak French. But we could understand. After a while, I knew a few words in Malagasy, and we could speak a little bit, and then other people would help in translating with me.
Tera, was it also so easy for you?
It was relatively easy. Nepal is quite a touristic country, so quite a lot of locals know a little bit of English. In the same time, the organizations that I worked with were also working continuously with other international bodies, so then they were more or less accustomed to working in English, but we also had interactions with people that could not speak English, but then we would have a translator, which of course had some ups and downs, but in the end I think the message got across.
Okay, and let's try to share with your student colleagues that are listening to the podcast some most memorable moment that you had during the internship, Mariam, and for your bachelor thesis, Theodora.
Yeah, I saw King Julian.
Yeah, that's a remarkable yeah. one.
Yes, no, I really loved I had never imagined going that far away from things that I knew, but Madagascar is a really beautiful country, so just being able to really understand what was at stake with the implementation of clean cooking, with really introducing something that would help in changing the ways they harvest the wood and therefore destroy the wildlife that they have there. It's so beautiful. It was really nice to know what's needed to be preserved in that way. So I really loved going around in nature and discovering the places, the history, and the people. It's also a really fast-paced environment. So things get really done really quickly, which also maybe comes with the fact that it was a startup and not a normal size company.
And for you?
Yeah, for me, the whole experience is a very nice memory. I'm very glad I can share this memory with a lot of people that I met there. I was also very glad to have a very heartwarming host, which basically took me under her wing and showed me the local way of living, basically. We also traveled a bit together. We even went to this mountain a bit outside of the Kathmandu Valley. And on the tip of the mountain, there were a lot of prayer flags just floating in the wind. It was a really nice evening and experience altogether. Besides, of course, working in such a different environment and learning so much about a part of the world that seems so different than what we see here.
Yeah. We can only imagine how nice was your memory. Hey, but what did you have to arrange before traveling?
The normals, I would say, visa, getting vaccines done, because there are also different regulations, finding an accommodation, which my company did for me. So that was a topic that was off of my mind, and also booking the plane tickets, making sure that everything was in order.
Yeah, same for me. The only difference is that most of the organizational things were taken care of by the international office of the university. I also had quite a lot of help from the supervisors and just in general the university body that also took care of the travel insurance, a scholarship for it that covered most of the expenses, and just overall support and
Thanks. And last but not least, what advice would you give to other students considering an internship, an assignment abroad, especially in the field of humanitarian engineering?
Just do it. It's going to be amazing. Okay. It's the type of experience that not a lot of people can live, because you need the proper platform to put you there. And just accepting the challenge and believing that you can do it is for some people quite a big leap of faith. So then just trust that you can do it, and look at it with curiosity, and that's going to make things much easier.
Yes, I think that point is really nice, that looking at it with curiosity, because then you really come with a mind where you get become more tolerant. Like, you realize that everybody is different, that you are going into different settings, different culture. And in this way, of course, you will have some barriers and some challenges, notably when it comes to communication. But then you will be really willing to try and interact with people.
That's a beautiful message.
Perfect. I think we should stop the second part of the podcast here.
Okay.
As you may know from the previous episodes, we have a part of a podcast where we ask quick questions, and we want you to answer those questions. Well, since it's the two of you, perhaps we can do it in a way that first Mariam answers and then Theodora adds something to that, if that can work with you.
Sure.
So my first question is, why do you think that the humanitarian engineering is relevant?
It's a way to tailor solutions with the input of people.
I would say that humanitarian engineering aims to solve problems. And unfortunately, the world is not running out of them.
This is the first time we really got the short answer.
Very well.
What is the most urgent topic that needs to be addressed by humanitarian engineering, according to you?
I was quite torn about it, because for me, it really depends on the locals, on the people. But generally, I have three: food, water, and energy.
Mm-hmm. That comes also from your background of studying sustainable energy technology. What about you, Theodora?
Well, looking at the reasons of the disasters in Nepal, mainly because that's the topic of my assignment, I could say that, looking at the effects of global warming and the fact that we need solutions for this, and it's quite a complex issue.
Thank you. And my last question is, how can a humanitarian engineering student make the most impact?
Via capacity building, because it's not just about building something or giving a solution to the people, it's really about helping them understand and use what they already have, so that they do not become dependent on others.
Yeah, I would add to that in case you cannot come up with those solutions, just be vocal about them. Just let the others know that there is need for some sort of solutions, and maybe some other people will have ideas to help come up with those solutions.
Thank you. I think with this we can move to the last part of this podcast.
Okay, now we reach almost the end of our podcast today. We had the pleasure to have Mariam and Theodora. They had done their bachelor assignment in Nepal and an internship in Madagascar abroad. I think what we have to remember by that is that also in such a short time, you can, as a student, learn a lot of knowledge, not only technical knowledge, but also soft skills, communication, and be confronted with situation that I would say is more difficult to find during your normal study journey. I would like to ask one last question to Mariam and Theodora about that. Is that what would you do differently in your assignment abroad?
I would probably go there from the beginning rather than being in the Netherlands at first, because there are a lot of things that I really just got to understand once I was there. There was a difficulty to understand what the population needed, what were preventing them from going towards a solution, and being able to talk with the people involved in the project and the people that were being benefited, were going to benefit from the solution as well.
Yeah, thanks.
I had a bit of a hard time with the timeline of the whole assignment and the fact that things happen at different times than I imagined. So I think if I would do it again, I would just set some... What was the question again?
What would you do differently?
Yeah, so I was in Nepal for 2 months, and over the time I was there, my topic of the assignment changed again. So I had a bit of an issue with the timeline overall. So if I would do it again, I would just like to focus a bit more on some milestones and just keeping on track with the overall goal. And if that overall goal could be a bit more defined before going there, it would just be perfect.
Well, may I ask also of one course, last Nick. Question? What are the next steps that you are planning to take? Of course, I assume both of you want to graduate very soon. What do you want to do afterwards?
I am going back to Mali for a bit to see my family, and then I will look for a job. Regular timeline, I guess.
Theodora?
Well, for me, I'm still working on my bachelor's thesis. So after I'm done with this, I will just start a master's. I have to still figure out which one, but I have some options, and I just have to decide which one I want to follow.
Okay, well, good luck with the next step of your life. Thank you very much, Nikki.
Yeah, thank you, Alberto. Thank you, Mariam and Theodora. It was a pleasure talking to you, and we wish you all the best.
Thank you, likewise.
Thank you so much. The Humanitarian Engineering Podcast.